Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from Northeast Jefferson County, Kansas. Your one true voice in Kansas. This is Radio Free Kansas.
Good evening, listeners. I hope you're having a great weekend. It's Saturday. What is it? So, October 6th? No, 17th? 17th, yes. Because the world is bigger than Jefferson County, let's try a little bit of world news. It only plays, it's from the United Nations, and plays for 3 minutes and 51 seconds, and I'll be back with you.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. Results from a UN-coordinated international trial looking at 4 COVID-19 therapeutics have shown little or no positive impact on preventing death in patients infected with the new coronavirus. The Solidarity Therapeutics trial, overseen by the World Health Organization, WHO, found that remdesivir, hydroxychloroquine, lopinavir, ritonavir, and interferon appeared to have little or no effect on 28-day mortality or the in-hospital course of COVID-19 among hospitalized patients. The study involved more than 30 countries and investigated the effects of the treatments on mortality, ventilation, and the length of stay in hospital. It did not examine other uses of the drugs, such as preventive treatment, which would require further trials. In a related announcement, the WHO said that COVID-19 had also highlighted the increased vulnerability of people with high blood pressure to the coronavirus. The warning is based on data from more than 120 countries showing significant COVID-related disruption to treatment for people suffering from chronic health conditions, with findings showing these patients make up 50-60% of all deaths through COVID. Dr. Bentin Mikkelsen, director of WHO's Department of Noncommunicable Diseases, said that more than 1.1 billion people around the world suffer from hypertension, mainly in low- and middle-income countries.
When it comes to COVID-19 and hypertension, the 122 countries that has reported tells us that in over 50% of the countries, the healthcare services is disrupted fully or partially, 50% of the countries. And in addition, we see high number of fatalities. We don't have global figures yet, but we see in the range of 50-60% of the people that are severely ill and die in hospitals from COVID have hypertension, diabetes, and so forth. And we are working on the global targets.
An airlift of hope agreed by Yemen's warring parties to return more than 1,000 detainees to their families has been welcomed by UN Special Envoy Martin Griffiths, who's urged both sides to agree to further peace-building measures. In a briefing to the Security Council on Thursday, Mr. Griffiths confirmed that the extraordinary operation had begun in line with an agreement reached last month in Switzerland between the government of Yemen and Houthi opposition representatives. Although the prisoner swap, which continued on Friday, will bring immense relief and comfort to many families, said the veteran UN negotiator, he noted that it does not include many thousands more Yemenis detained during the course of this conflict, likely numbering some 15,000. While appealing for further prisoner release talks, the UN Special Envoy also called for face-to-face meetings between the warring parties so that they can agree on a joint declaration to end more than 5 years of catastrophic fighting. If agreed, the development would prepare the ground for a nationwide ceasefire, economic and humanitarian measures, and the resumption of the political process. Hate speech has no place in this Sunday's general elections in Bolivia, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Michelle Bachelet said on Friday. In an appeal for a peaceful and inclusive national poll, Ms. Bachelet urged Bolivia's authorities, political and other actors, to refrain from any actions that could spark a repeat of violent political clashes over the disputed election last year that left at least 30 people dead and more than 800 injured. The High Commissioner expressed serious concern at inflammatory language and threats made in recent weeks, as well as an increasing number of physical attacks. I welcome the Bolivian people's determination to participate in the elections, Ms. Bachelet said in a statement. She added that the elections represent an opportunity to move forward on social and economic fronts and defuse the extreme polarization that's been plaguing Bolivia in recent years. The UN Human Rights Office deployed a mission to Bolivia in November 2019. It remains in the country to monitor and report on any human rights violations and abuses, including in the context of the elections. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
Well, that was yesterday's UN News. They only come out Monday through Friday, and I hope you understand. I broadcast it. It's the best I can get in less than 5 minutes. It's called the News in Brief from the UN. I got a buddy call. He's called in, and I'm going to put him on in just a minute. But and we're going to talk a little bit about this. You know, if you recall, I think it was call the candidate number. What would that be? Number three, which was broadcast last Saturday. That's last Saturday on RFK, and it was. I pointed out that the newspaper, the Vindicator, had reported that the Valley Falls public school, I think it was a grade school, closed down for a short period of time and then reopened on Monday. I think I have to go dig the article up out of the paper in my pile of the newspapers. And we're going to talk more about the local stuff here, what's happening. This guy's from Leavenworth, and I may have a caller from Johnson County. But I'm going to this last Wednesday, October 14th, the Kansas City Star came out with something I think is pretty interesting and local, because it affects all of us here. We are, according to a map, a tracking map, put out covidexitstrategy.org. It has both Kansas and Missouri painted in, quote, bruised red, which indicates uncontrolled spread of the virus. This is from an article written by Robert A. Crockleton in, as I said, October 14th in the Kansas City Star. And the two states are among 26 that are colored in dark red on the map, where the number of cases during a 14-day period are increasing at a greater rate than 25%. That's every 14 days increasing 25%. And we are, and Missouri both, are in what they call an uncontrolled spread. And it's based also scoring in its 14-day trend of coronavirus positive cases based on a 7-day rolling average intensive care unit, ICU capacity, hospital bed capacity, and percent of positive testing, among others. The map was based on the White House's criteria that each region or state should satisfy before proceeding to a phased reopening. Well, so that means President Donnie has the same information, and he's saying outrageous statements on his campaign. This contradicts what he's talking about. I don't want to dwell on President Donnie too much tonight, but I just want to say there's data that's going into their White House, and it's contradicting what he's saying on a daily basis. So we're in an uncontrolled virus spread in Kansas right now, and there's some serious questions about stay-at-home orders. A second similar map shows that Missouri is one of 14 states that are at a tipping point, quote unquote, tipping point, where stay-at-home orders are necessary. Those states which were at the COVID risk level red have more than 25 cases per 100,000 people. Missouri has 27.9 cases per 100,000 people. The map calculates the risk levels by looking at daily cases per 100,000. This doesn't sound good, folks. I mean, we're going into a winter. Here's a little more as local. It's focused down. Just a minute, I'm going to put our guest on talking about his situation in Leavenworth County, what he knows about it. Another article right beside it by Katie Moore at the Kansas City Star on October 14th, says the Johnson County added 131 new cases and Wyandotte County added 15. 9 deaths were added. 5 were in Johnson County, 4 in Wyandotte County, raising the metro's total to 649 dead. This is literally 3 days old news. So the University of Kansas healthcare system reported it was treating 30 patients for the virus, up 6 from Monday. And Steve Stites, chief medical officer at the health system, said area hospitals are reporting record high numbers of COVID-19 hospitalizations. A quote, here's what Dr. Stites said. He says, quote, "We know that the total count yesterday for COVID patients in those hospitals was actually, I think, the highest we've had." That's KU, Liberty, the St. Luke's Health System, North Kansas City, and Shawnee Mission, unquote. Uncontrolled spread was reported in both states, indicating the number of cases, as I said earlier, in a 14-day period increased 25%. So, I mean, it's obvious the wildfire is spread here. I wouldn't call it the wave. You can if you want to call it that, but I'm going to put our guests on. Like I said earlier, there was a temporary shutdown of one of the schools in Valley Falls. They closed it down. Some of the teaching staff went into self-quarantine. I'll dig it up after, as we listen to this, my guest, my brother, in Leavenworth County, who's really familiar with the COVID situation in Leavenworth County schools. Actually, I think he... Good evening, Mark. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. How about you?
All right. So what?
Okay, here's the deal.
What is the what's the status of the? I know you got some kids going to school yourself, but what's the status that you know of in Leavenworth among the school systems?
Well, right now the status is that they're fully open, even though we have a 22.1% COVID community spread in our county here in Leavenworth. Schools are wide open. It's just a shame.
What do you mean both?
You know,
well, I thought there was there was sort of a difference. Yeah, here I got it. October 8th, the virus interrupts the school at Valley Falls, USD 338. Let's see, there have been no changes in this. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Here in Leavenworth, it's like I said, it's 22.1% spread of COVID-19 in Leavenworth County. And our schools opened up Monday, fully operational, fully. This coming Tuesday, the schools are going to be totally open, 5 days a week, full face-on-face education for all the kids. Total disregard of the 22% COVID cases reported in Leavenworth County. And I just don't really think that people are taking this COVID-19 pandemic real seriously here in Leavenworth County. I think it's more of a, it's sad, but I'm going to. It's more political. A lot of people here in Leavenworth County still believe it's a hoax. It doesn't exist. If they think it's a cold, you know, they compare it to the cold or the flu. But yeah, here in Leavenworth County, our schools next Tuesday are going to open up. Everything, 5 days a week, full face on face.
Well, are they going to have sporting events too? I mean, how crazy?
They're going to have sporting events, football. Matter of fact, football is going on right now. You know, it's just insane. I mean, I don't know what's going to take. I mean, are we going to have the swine flu sweep through this country for people to wake up and realize that this is not fake, this is not a hoax, this is real. 218,000 Americans are dead. Some more from
this country. Yeah.
You know, we got over 8 million cases. I don't understand what are people thinking. I mean, My thing is, they can't see it, so they don't believe it. I mean, if there's a nuclear weapon coming in and blows up, they'll believe that. But they can't see this. It's a virus. It's a microscopic organism that floats in there. It's airborne. For, 8 months, our government held that back from us. It's airborne. But the thing is, we knew it was airborne. But we still walk around. I still see people walking around in Leavenworth County, no mask, out drinking beers, smoking cigarettes, acting like, look, everything's just fine. I just don't understand it. I have 3 grandchildren that live with me. One's 15, one's 9, and the other one's 2. And I'm going off the data from CDC and from Dr. Fauci and the WHO. And our 15-year-old, she's not going to school. She's doing remote schooling here at home. And
okay, so how many of you, sorry to interrupt you, you're getting into some of the good stuff here. So there is an option so that students, if they can technologically go remote, there's an option for that in the junior.
Yeah, and about 45 to 48% of the students in the high school are doing remote schooling. The parents won't let them go to school because they're in that, according to the data, your high school students are in that age group that can transmit COVID-19. The elementary children, according to the CDC and the World Health, the WHO, the World Health Organization, children under the ages of 10 and younger, yes, they can catch the virus. And they most generally are asymptomatic, showing no symptoms, but they do not spread it. They do not spread the virus as easily as kids, as teenagers in the above 10 years old and up. And the kids, the upper age kids, will show symptoms. As the younger children, below 10 and younger, won't go asymptomatic. They won't show symptoms. So we decided to send our 6-year-olds to go to school because, the younger kids really need the social interaction with other children. Chance, and we're doing that. But right now, our school district, our school board, are not looking or following the guidelines of CDC or the WHO or Dr. Fauci. They're not following. They're more concerned about the GPA for the statewide testing scores. That's what they're concerned about. And it's really sad that we're bringing politics into our children's education. That's what's appalling. Instead of taking our children's health and our health in consideration before the politics, that's not happening here in Leavenworth County.
Yeah. I wish my Johnson County connection would call in. Excuse me. He said this afternoon earlier when I was recruiting him to give information about Johnson County, he said the same thing, that there was an evaluation. I don't know who made that. It must follow some science. That young kids don't spread the virus as much as adolescents. I didn't realize that.
According to CDC and the WHO on their studies and the data they're getting, that children underneath the age of 10 and younger are asymptomatic and they do not spread the virus as easily as people above the age of 10. And it's a very small percentage, actually. I mean, I checked it out before we let our kids go to school. We had to make these big, major decisions on who's going to school and who's not going to school.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, that's what it is. That's what the studies show.
Well, it sounds
data
like
shows that younger children. Go ahead.
Why do you say it's politics involved? It sounds like the board is following some guidelines, at least maybe
the
Board of Education.
The Board of Education in Leavenworth is not following any guidelines. They are more concerned about their GPA of their testing on the Board of Education for the Federal Education Department, where the ratings are. They just open it all up, leaving it up to the parents. And, now when you fold on to the parents of these children, kids that need to be going to school, well, now you're talking about the economic impact because these parents, I can't go to work, I can't leave the care home, by themselves. we have a 15-year-old granddaughter that we do leave her home by herself to do remote training. But, 15-year-olds are 15-year-old teenagers. They got TV, they're going to turn the TV on and watch TV and not pay attention to the Google Chrome book that they got from the school district. They're going to watch TV. That's just the way it is. And we had to, she was, not only her, other students in Leavenworth, that's a big thing that shook up the school board is that they had 300 and some odd students that were failing in all the classes on the remote training, remote schooling, because there wasn't proper supervision at home. And so parents are losing their jobs and can't go to work. Now we're talking about the economic impact of the community because, mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or someone's going to have to stay home with the kids, watch them, make sure they do the schoolwork. So now you have an economic impact that's going to affect the state impact on the local level and the state level because, you're not getting tax money out. If no one's working, there's no taxes. And when you have, when you got 25 or 30,000 people not working anymore because they're staying home to make sure the children are doing their schoolwork, that's a big kick in the ass for Leavenworth County. But anyway.
We should think that it's not that way everywhere, at least, and even in the rural. It sounds like in the rural areas, they're going like that, too. They're just they're going to school as much as they can. And, there is an upside of people. If they could use remote schooling, it would lower the class sizes enough where maybe it would give some safe distancing possibilities for safe distancing within the school systems. I always wonder why they don't go outside and have classes.
They can right now, but the weather's getting colder. Here in the next couple of weeks, you're not gonna be able to go outside and have classes. It's gonna be cold. Jizzle. Right. They're gonna be clammed up in the classroom. The state of Kansas right now is at 23% rate of COVID-19 infections, state of Kansas, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm one of these guys that I am for. This is the second wave. I know you said it at the beginning of your show is that we don't know if the second wave is coming. It's already here. It's already here. It hasn't breached yet. But it's getting ready to breach. And we're going to lose thousands and thousands of people going to die. And I don't want to sound like the Grim Reaper, but this is fact. Thousands and thousands of people are going to die We're going to go well,
right here. I think you're right. And I think when you first localize it, I mean, you begin looking at it statewide in Missouri and Kansas City, I think you're right. It's already, there's already well over a thousand dead between both states, but I think you're projecting, you're saying that it's going to get even worse as the winter sets in. I know you said that earlier on text.
Let's learn from history. I mean, when the swine flu pandemic lasted 3 years. We have well passed the casualty list of swine flu pandemic in 1918. They lost 210,000 people during the swine flu pandemic. We have surpassed that. We are up to 218,000 people. Well, according to the WHO and the CDC and the experts, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Red, we're looking at 400,000 to 500,000 people dead by January. And I don't know about your listeners or anybody else, but me personally, that's a scary damn thought. That could be me.
Yeah.
That could be my wife. That could be you, our mother. You know, I mean, it's a very scary thought. And I get really upset when I see people not taking this seriously and still walking around public with no mask on, you know, not social distancing, you know, and acting like everything's normal. It's, folks, it's not over. It's not anywhere near over. Until we get a vaccine, a proven, effective, safe vaccine, we're in for the long haul. Get ready for it. I mean, it's already been proven that warm weather is not going to kill it. We lost over 100,000 Americans dead during the summer. So we know that warm weather isn't going to kill this virus. We know the virus is airborne. It can survive up to 72 hours in the air on our surfaces. So this is not your, according to Dr. Fauci, the WHO, and the CDC, and other experts around the world that have been studying this virus, it can live for 3 days on a surface. On any surface, it can live for 3 days.
So, well, yes, I mean, without direct sunlight, I understand, does kill it. I mean,
yeah, it does kill it in direct sunlight. But, I mean, if you're in a building, an office, a classroom, there you go, a classroom.
Right.
And, it's on a desk surface. I mean, let's think about the economic impact. I mean, you want to have with a classroom empty out, you're going to have a custodian come in and disinfect all the desks in that classroom, and you got 100 classrooms in a building. How many custodians are you going to have to do that in a 15-minute period on the changing of students going from one classroom to another? And that's another thing. Why are students moving from one classroom to another? Why not just have the teachers move to a classroom?
Well, that's what happened in Valley Falls. Week before last, it said parents were told that the quote changes were being enacted are due to the number of staff that are already in quarantine. I mean, because they've been exposed to going into quarantine. Huh?
Here's my thing, and here I don't know about your school district, but our school board here in Leavenworth are not going to be held accountable for any employee of the school district that catches COVID-19.
Well, that's quite a stat. Are you sure about that?
I asked. You know me. I used to work for the school district. I called.
Yeah.
And, oh, no, we're not liable. I go, really? you're not liable. You're making these people come to work. You're making kids go to school, and you're not going to be held liable if they catch COVID-19.
Well, yeah, I was thinking back to my days in Leroy, Kansas, my hometown. And I was thinking, God, what would it feel like if I was in high school and I killed Mrs. Yancey? Mrs. Yancey was the home economics teacher who I didn't really like, but I mean, yeah. But I still would feel horrible because she was an older woman teaching home economics, and I was, and that's.
And you came to school, infected COVID-19, and gave it to her, and she died.
Yeah. She was a perfect candidate. Yeah, really nice. She was a nice old lady.
Well, according to this school districts around Kansas, our state, they're not held liable. Sorry. You feel bad. But we're not going to be held liable. Oh, by the way, you have to come to work. That's the stance. You have to come to work. We're going to give you your PPE and everything. Oh, that's great. You know, but PPE, what they give, all those little blue surgical masks and stuff, that doesn't prevent you from contracting COVID-19. That prevents you 80% of your virus being expelled to someone else. They're not providing the N95 mask that prevents you from catching COVID-19. They're giving out surgical masks, little blue ones.
Right. But you know, Mark, I've been venturing out, you know, and looking because I'm trying to campaign, and I'm not doing any one-on-one with people. I just stick it in their stick my policy cards in their windshields. So I've got a couple people saying, "What are you doing?" You know, as they're coming out.
Well,
I guess
if you put in a windshield and it's a sunny day, the virus will be dead within 2 or 3 minutes.
The funny part is a couple people. One old guy come out. He didn't have a mask on. I have a mask on. I stick a card in his windshield. He comes out of the store, and he says, "Hey, what are you doing? Are you robbing me? You got a mask on." And I was sort of, it was hard to keep from laughing. I fogged my glasses up laughing because I was trying to explain to him. I'm out campaigning. He says, "You're trying to campaign in the plague?" Now, remember, this guy is not wearing a mask. You're trying to campaign in the plague. I laughed so
and you're
I
out here talking
my
to me without a mask on.
Well, I mean,
next
we,
time,
we kept.
If no, I was going to rob you, I would put a mask over my eyes. You know.
Yeah. I kept. We kept a safe distance. I mean, you know, 6-10 feet apart. But and we were yelling.
See,
he was yelling at me at first. I think he knew me. I didn't know him. I can't remember. I think I've seen his face before, but I don't remember his name. But I think he knew me because he was just getting
people,
me trouble.
People
but
are scared.
I wanted to say this. I went to the grocery store, and on a separate time, I didn't hand out stick cards anywhere. Went in there to go in, and I get nervous the more times I go because. All the employees at the grocery store, who are all good friends of mine, I know them by their first name, and they know me. You know, some of them I've known for, no kidding, over 15 years. I've known them that long because they've been with that grocery store. And so I was sort of happy to hear that they had to wear masks, you know. But I go in and I wear a mask. And I've only been in twice in the last 3 weeks. I stood in line there were people who weren't wearing masks. They were customers. And I stood in line and some of them, they did maintain a distance. I mean, when I got to the cash register, the person behind me in line was about 6 feet back, you know. They kept a distance, you know. The line wasn't tight. But the lady, she had to be in her late 50s or 60s. She didn't have a mask on. Then I go to Dollar General, which I don't like to do, but hey, you know. And I went up there, and guess what? They have a mandatory mask on it. You have to have it on to come in and shop. And the cutest thing I saw, I was sticking cards again in windshields, you know, were these two girls. I mean, they had to be about 3.5 feet tall. They might maybe 8 to 10 years of age. Riding their little, I don't know what you call them, Barbie doll bicycles up to the parking lot, up to the Dollar General, and separately, and I don't know why they did this. I was just standing there. I stopped carting cars to watch these two girls, and I thought, for a minute, I thought, maybe I'll give them cards. I said, no, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to scare the hell out of them. So they parked their bicycles, and one of them parked way in the back, and one parked in the front, and the one in the front put her mask on and walked all the way to the back to get the other, her girlfriend or her buddy, and then she put her mask on, and they walked in and went into the store and bought their candy and came back out. And I was sort of impressed with that, and then I thought, well, hell, I got a mask on. I'll go out in. So I went in, and here are these guys are these big, tough guys, right? They're in overall, you know, they're working guys, and they're wearing masks. Now, I know for a fact they would not wear a mask if they didn't have to buy. You know, I'm wondering why more stores don't do that, where they just put a big sign at the front door, you have to have a mask on. People will follow the rules if they feel like they have to. Do you see anything like that? And that's the difference between Dollar General and the real grocery store at Valley Falls. Do you see any contradictions like that in policy in Leavenworth? Hello?
Yes.
But do you see some stores force mask and other stores don't?
Oh, yeah, Walmart. I've seen every time I go to Walmart today, big, you know, confrontation. Man and woman walked in Walmart without a mask on. And they stopped him and said, you have to wear a mask, you know. And, of course, out comes my rights, you know. It's my
Well, don't they have
choice.
A sign on the front? Doesn't
yep.
Walmart have a sign on the
big
front
old
window?
Sign. Big old sign. If you wish to come into this, if you wish to come into Walmart, you face masks is a mandatory.
Why would people walk into the store right by
political.
The sign that says
it's
that?
Political.
No.
It's political.
Well, they're making it political.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, you know what? Your
yes.
Your audio is pretty dim, man. I don't know if you've got a volume on your phone, you might turn it up because it goes in and out. But I guess it's political, but. Go ahead. Well, go ahead and tell us about what stores don't have make it optional, mask optional. Have you been into any of those?
Yeah. I've seen it where masks have let's see what the sign says. Masks are not required. I see those stores
no.
And. Oh, yeah, and, you know, it's not required, but recommended. And, you know, and what's really fucked up, screwed up about it, it's the little, the local businesses have those signs up. You know.
What'd you say?
Is that?
Oh, there
you go. Okay, can you hear me now? Is that better?
Oh, yeah, that's a lot better. I don't know what you're doing. Maybe
okay.
That's a lot better.
I put the mic close to my mouth. The small businesses are the ones that say masks are not required but recommended. All of them.
Uh-huh.
the big businesses like Walmart, Dillon's, Price Chopper, it's mandatory. You have to wear a mask.
Right.
It's the local businesses. And the reason they're doing that, because they need the money, economics.
Uh-huh.
It all comes down to the buck. That's what it all comes down to, you know. They don't, I hate to say this, but, you know, they don't care about the human loss or the human life that's going to be lost. They don't care about the suffering that someone's going to have to go through, going to ICU and being sick with the virus. They don't care about that. What they care about is one thing and one thing only, and that is the almighty dollar. They want the business.
Yeah, well, it's a you know, some of these businesses are so marginal now. I know out here in Jefferson County, man, I look at them. The businesses are barely getting by as it is, even in the best of times, because, you know, it's just that way. It's hard being a small business out in these areas.
Well, of course it's
so
hard.
So you would think. Well, now I want you. We only got about what do we got? We got some time, 15 minutes or more. I want you to tell, because you're also not only are you you came out of what I would call retirement as an EMT and a firefighter. You went from that so you got a little medical background, at least a little training. But you're now traveling as a over the road truck driver, and you saw something.
Mm-hmm.
That I've used over and over about your buddy Mikey. Chicago Mike is what I think we call him.
Chicago Mike. But
Chicago,
yeah.
Mike. Yeah, tell, because it, I say this is what Governor Laura Kelly, if I was elected to office and I had her ear, any of the big shots in Topeka's ears, I would be telling the story of Chicago Mike in Illinois, what happened to him in Illinois. Because I think that's the way to go. Tell the story, Mark. It's a great story.
Well, he got the ticket?
He got a ticket, but how he got it and why, you know, what was he doing? And he ended up, he hasn't come back to work. I think it's been about over a month, but you said he was going to be, he got hurt at the job or some stuff. He would wear a mask at work. He wore a mask at work, right?
Yep.
Oh.
And he stopped. He went somewhere and got out of his car and didn't have a mask on. And a police officer came up to him and gave him a ticket. And it was a $500 ticket and then gave him a mask. Because he got a ticket for not wearing a mask. But I want to express something to you, what happened to what I saw in Iowa. Let's see, that would be Friday morning. Thursday night, Friday morning, coming from Iowa. Iowa.
Okay, well, where? Generally, where in Iowa? Eastern, South Iowa?
Des Moines. And
really?
I stopped off in Des Moines. Oh, yeah, I stopped off in Des Moines, and there were like two or three police officers walking around the parking lot of this truck stop. And what they were doing is they were looking for people not wearing masks. That's how serious. I'm not bullshitting you. I got on my truck. I put my mask on. I got on my truck, and there was like two or three cops walking around. And there was another brother truck driver next to me feeling his truck. I'm like, what's these guys for? He goes, they're looking for people without masks on. I go, really? He goes, yep. I go, holy shit. In a truck stop. You know?
Well.
You gotta understand, Iowa has a 30% rate, brother. 30%.
Oh,
Iowa.
Let me look. Yeah, you're right. Iowa is uncontrolled spread. It's a deep red.
Yep.
Uncontrolled
30%.
Spread. It's also.
So they got police officers patrolling the truck stops and convenience stores, if anybody gets out of the vehicle without a mask on, it's a $1,200 ticket.
$1,200? Now, Mikey, Chicago,
$1,200.
Mikey, well, let's be accurate. Illinois? I don't know if that was Chicago or a suburb, but you say he was going into a Lowe's hardware store, and it was $500.
Yep, $500. Now, in Iowa, it's $1,200.
Holy moly.
It's mandatory mask. You got to wear your mask. You know? And the Republican governor of Iowa is fighting these mayors of Des Moines and these other communities that are enforcing this fine. The Republican governor of Iowa is raising all sorts of hell. But, oh well.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yep.
Well, that's sort of the flip side of Governor Laura's. You know, Governor Laura got her sort of her, this is the best term, but she sort of got her knees cut off from her by the Republican supermajority in the Topeka State House on these on the use of her executive orders.
Well,
right?
You know what? She did, and they're going to live to regret that, because this second wave, according to the CDC and WHO and Fauci and I bet, the second wave is going to be a lot worse than the initial. And they're talking hundreds of thousands of people dying. And, I hate to make this political, but it is political.
It is political, being the way it's, I agree that the way it's
the
being
way,
implemented has got. But
well,
you know, here's
it,
the thing.
It got political. It got political. It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
But it did get political. Now it's political because the Republican Party is not realizing that this is real. They don't want to step out against Trump and say, you know, this is real. Except for the governor and the senator from Nebraska. He stepped out and he attacked Trump big time. And Nebraska is getting ready to do a complete shutdown. And when they hit 25%, the governor of Nebraska is going to do a complete shutdown of the state. And
listeners, this uncontrolled spread map from last Wednesday's Kansas City Star. It's actually from covidexitstrategy.org. It's a deep red, and it goes from Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, North and South Dakota. I mean, it goes right up, zip, all the way up to the top. So that makes sense. Mark, that there's a good side to this, leaving it to local control. You just illustrated that, describing what you saw in Iowa. I mean, that's what they could do out in front of my grocery store. You know, where these old guys that just refuse to wear masks, and old ladies. I hate to say it. Hate to sound ageist.
Give them a ticket.
But give them a ticket. And the local city could probably decide that, couldn't they? The city council
could.
That. We're going to get issue tickets.
Yes, they could.
Uh-huh.
Like Chicago Mike said. They gave me a ticket, then gave me a mask.
What? Hey, give them a mask, too. I mean,
give them a ticket, give them a mask.
They're worried about money, all these little governments. Well, here, the schools will give, you know. It's like safety belts or smoking in a closed room. You know, it's suddenly
you know
a public health problem.
At first, people, when you're talking about safety seatbelts, when that became a law, people fought, but you know what? Everybody wears a seatbelt now. It wasn't a big deal. You know?
Even I put seatbelts on when it looks like the things will go around my big fat gut.
It's habit. Now, to me, it's habit. I just do it. Because it's the law.
I know.
Like smoking in bars. All right? You take your beer and go outdoors and smoke a cigarette, you know?
Right.
This is much easier. It's just putting a fucking mask on your face. pick the right. damn ass
It's only
up.
When
it's
you go
very easy.
It's only when you got to go. It's only when you got to go. I'm learning that. I've only wear the mask maybe 8 times because I haven't been out of the house hardly at all.
I wear my mask
it is
all the time.
It is the mask is annoying.
Yes,
you know,
it
is annoying at first, but I sort of got used
I'm
to
a
it this last time I went.
I'm a smoker.
Go ahead, Mark.
I'm a smoker, and when I put my mask on, 2 or 3 times I, you know, take my cigarette and put it up my lips and shit, I got my mask on, you know. So someone quit smoking, you know.
Yeah,
but,
that's
you know.
All. It makes at least it makes you think twice before you light one up.
Yeah, you know, okay, I got my mask on, I can't light a cigarette up. But the thing of it is, it's so small and it's not really, I mean, the mask is not going to help you protect you from catching it. It's the mask is to protect people from you. That's what the mask is for.
Yeah, I got you.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
you know,
hey,
it's
now,
just,
I saw a guy. I mean, you get
it's
out
just
more,
common
much more
decency.
Than I do. Yeah, it is. I understand
well,
that.
Yeah.
But it's these disparities, these contradictions. And let me give you an example. Another example, Mike's rare time out, you know, when I leave the 10 acres, you know, very rare. I went out. I know you get out a lot more than I do. You're braver.
Well, yeah, Mike. I travel. I travel. You know,
all over.
The truck
yeah, guy. Yeah, you do. So here's what I saw: a guy driving a van. He had a mask on, and the people, his passenger, didn't have a mask on. But does that make any sense? If you're gonna, I don't understand why people would do that.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That's sort of like. That's so like a negative and a positive. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, he's got a mask on to protect his passenger from catching COVID from him. Now, his passenger don't have a mask on, but that's not a protective driver because the mask doesn't protect you from COVID-19. I mean, 20% will protect you, but this is not going to fully protect you. I mean, if you want all protections of a mask, you got to get the N95 mask. That'll protect you. And those things are expensive as hell. And they're only good for, you know, a couple of hours. But the thing of this, people need to understand this is, as Joe Biden put it, this is respect to other people to wear a mask. The mask is not going to protect you from getting COVID-19. It's going to protect the people that you associate with or around from catching COVID-19 from you if you don't know you have it. You know, and 60 to 70% of the people who have COVID-19 don't even know they have it. They're asymptomatic. That is why wearing a mask is very, very important. You can walk around and feel like you have the common cold. To you, COVID-19, it's not going to affect you. You feel good. But you may pass it on to someone else that could kill them. That's why you wear the mask.
Well, now, hey, let's shift gears a little bit. Have you heard about, what have you been reading or studying or seeing or hearing about people who get it? I know that my Johnson County guy didn't call in. I'm going to bug him. Maybe we'll get him on tomorrow night to talk about Johnson County schools and COVID-19. But we have a buddy, shared buddy. He lives, where is it? It's in, I want to say Fairfax or Fairway. Is there a Fairway, Kansas, up in the Kansas City area?
Yep.
I think it's Fairway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Fairway, yeah.
He lives in Fairway. Now, he's a bar hound, unapologetic bar hound. He went to bar. He didn't care. He went to, and he claims he's had it twice. He claims he got it, and it made him sicker than a dog. Then about 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks later, he gets it again. It wasn't as bad. That's what he told our buddy.
Okay.
It wasn't as bad.
Listeners need to answer. Go ahead.
Let me finish the story. But now he's still going out, but he wanted to come over and see our friend in Johnson County, and he says, "Are you still going out to bars?" He says, "Don't even come over." I think there's some sort of misunderstanding. You could still spread the virus after you've had it. Is that right?
Yes. And CDC and WHO, after you have the virus, you can still spread it. Not as bad as you are. It's when you go in, after you have the virus and you test negative, okay, you're shedding dead virus. That's what the test
no
says.
Shit.
Okay, you're shedding dead virus. So the thing of it is it they don't know if the dead virus can be contagious or not. They haven't figured it out. But what people need to understand, this is not only is this a respiratory disease, it's a cardiovascular disease, which means it attacks your blood vessels, in your heart, in your brain, everywhere. It's called long haulers syndrome. Even if you survive COVID-19, there are going to be after effects of it, because it attacks your vascular system, your blood vessels. People have had their legs amputated, their arms amputated because of lack of blood flow in those appendages from COVID-19. There's been kids at 18 to 25 years old having strokes after they caught COVID-19 and said they were negative, they had strokes. This is a cardiovascular disease. It attacks the respiratory system first, but once it gets into your vascular system, anything can happen. And
it's my fault. I just wanted to keep talking about the beer drinking buddy because I want to have a beer.
Go ahead.
The guy that got it twice, our buddy, he got it twice, and he's the bar hound. And he said after the first time he got it, it was very tough. He was thinking about going to the hospital, but he didn't, and he got through it. But he said it was the strangest part of that was it no taste or smell. His nose and that's
yep.
weird. Yeah, that's a weird side effect of this disease. He went for weeks without any test. Go ahead.
That's part of your cardiovascular system. It attacks. This is not just a respiratory virus. This is a cardiovascular virus that attacks our system. And that's what I'm saying. It's been reported, thousands of people say, yeah, I got through the initial attack of COVID-19, but I got blood clots in my leg and I had to cut my leg off. And that's what the scientists are studying now. They're going, how many systems in our body did these viruses attack? Not just the respiratory system. Now they're finding out, it attacks our cardiovascular system and our nervous system. Brain fog has been reported for many COVID-19 survivors.
It's certainly a science that they don't. Their science is just catching
they don't
up
know.
With the. Yeah, they're just learning. Yeah. Hey, thanks for helping us inform us about Leavenworth County and your travels around the United States, buddy. I appreciate
the Midwest,
it.
No problem, brother. You take care of yourself and your listeners. Your listeners, be safe, be healthy, and wear a damn mask.
Right on, man. We'll be on tomorrow night to call the candidate number 5. We'll be called the candidate number 6. I'll do this every weekend till election day. Thank you for listening, listeners. And remember, it's a call-in show. Don't be bashful. You can call in. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock.